From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Matt Bodner always wanted to be a CEO. I mean, who doesn't, right? It sounds so cool. CEO. It's like the rock star status of today. And then in 2011, at the fresh young age of 25, that is what happened. He joined a company and became its CEO.
It was super sexy and exciting to be a young CEO and to feel like, wow, I'm the master of my destiny and I'm running this company and I've got these crisp new business cards that say CEO on them.
The company was in the point of sale business, which, to be super simple about it, means it was developing those terminals that waiters use to take orders at a bar or restaurant or whatever. A lot of that has been replaced by iPads now, of course, but back then, those terminals were the thing. And yet, this company had been struggling. So Matt's job as this young CEO was to fix the business. And for a while, he did that. But then came a point where, frankly, he just couldn't figure out how to do his job well anymore. The company wasn't improving the way he wanted it to. And then the job of CEO started to feel a lot less exciting.
I mean, I think it took a lot of soul searching, right? I mean, you have to come back to, especially, you have this sort of image of yourself or this vision of yourself as somebody who can create massive impact and make all these things happen and do all this stuff. And when that's not happening, you really have to sit down and take a look internally and figure out, is it something I'm doing? Is it something that's wrong structurally with the business?
I have heard some version of this tale from really every single first-time CEO I've ever spoken to. There comes some time where the job becomes really hard, when nothing they do seems to work, when their instincts just don't seem to be enough, when the challenges of business seem beyond their abilities, and then they start to question themselves. Are they the right person for the job? Are they hindering the company by staying at the top? And if you've listened to this show long enough, you've heard many people articulate that. And their conclusion is usually, yes, I am the right person for the job. I just need, whatever it is, executive coaching, a good COO, a major pivot. The entrepreneurial spirit pushes them. It pushes all of us to evolve and change and meet the demands of our time. A leader must change with their company. It's one of the first big lessons a leader learns. But that's not always how the story ends. And that is why I want to tell Matt's story today. Because Matt made a decision that most others don't. And yet, in doing so, he created a lot of value for himself and for his company and for many other companies to come. But I don't want to get ahead of myself here, so after the break, we are going to set it all up. Where Matt came from, how it all went wrong, and why he took a very different path towards making it right. Stay tuned.
Money. It comes up on this show all the time. I mean, what entrepreneur doesn't at some point have a problem with money? For small business owners, reaching your potential means having extra capital to make investments or manage cash flow, and that is where Kabbage comes in. Kabbage offers access to flexible lines of credit of up to $250,000 that you can use at any time. Apply online to get a quick decision. Kabbage gives you the flexibility to withdraw what you need, when you need it, using your computer, the Kabbage mobile app, or the Kabbage card, anywhere Visa is accepted. Kabbage has funded nearly $5 billion. They're trusted by over 140,000 businesses and are A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Be ready to achieve your dreams with the security of a line of credit from Kabbage. Get started at Kabbage, and that's, by the way, Kabbage with a K, kabbage.com/PS, as in problem solvers, to get $100 when you qualify. That's Kabbage with a K, kabbage.com/PS. Credit lines and pricing are subject to periodic review and change. This is not a revolving account. Individual requests for capital are separate installment loans. All Kabbage business loans are issued by Celtic Bank, a Utah chartered industrial bank, member FDIC.
All right, we're back. So first, let's learn a little more about Matt, the would-be CEO, who, by the way, has a great podcast called The Science of Success. You should check it out. So, all right, fresh out of college, Matt worked at Goldman Sachs, but the work wasn't fully satisfying. He wanted to get into startups, and he wanted to have a real on-the-ground experience helping a company grow. So he made a change, becoming a partner at a Nashville investment firm called Fresh Hospitality.
We invest in and operate a number of businesses across the food value chain. Everything from restaurants to farms to real estate and across that whole spectrum. And our current portfolio comprises about 15 different restaurant concepts and about 200 and change restaurant operations.
His first order of business was to help fix a company in their portfolio that was called Fresh Technology. And yes, because you're probably wondering, I was too. Fresh Hospitality, the investment firm had purchased this point of sale company and then renamed it Fresh Technology. It's not like they were hunting around for companies that already contain the word fresh. Anyway, this is the point of sale company, the one that Matt originally becomes CEO of. But that wouldn't happen immediately. There were about 10 people working for this company, which was based in North Alabama, and they already had a CEO that the investment firm wanted to keep in place. So Matt was installed as CFO. His job was to turn the thing around because Fresh Technology was in trouble, like losing money in trouble, not growing as it should. It was like the runt of the portfolio. And after about a year, change just wasn't happening fast enough, and a bigger change was called for. That is when Matt became the CEO, which was super exciting, but also a lot of work.
It was losing a bunch of money. And actually, the day that I took over as CEO, we did not have enough cash to make payroll. And we had several hundred thousand dollars of accounts receivable, which was basically bills that had never been collected, though we'd serviced them and in many cases purchased hardware and delivered it and never been paid for it.
You know how some people see a problem and just understand how to solve it? I think we all have some version of this. Like, you know, I don't know. For me, like I can look at a piece of writing and know how to edit it. I just see the architecture in my head. It's a great feeling, isn't it? And that's how Matt felt in this role. It was like looking at a puzzle. All the puzzle pieces scattered around, but instead of appearing like chaos, it appeared like a process that just hadn't been executed yet. Matt needed to stop the bleeding in this company. Then he needed to get this thing back on its feet. That was the job. And so he threw himself into it.
So it started out, you know, it started out well. And my initial kind of task or foray was to clean up the company and kind of get it organized. And so I spent several years basically getting the financial end of the business squared away, you know, figuring out what are the right kind of business lines that we need to be in, what are the profitable things we're doing, what are the unprofitable things we're doing, putting in the right systems and processes to kind of help get the business to steer the business out of trouble or steer the business out of danger.
After a couple of years, Fresh Technology was in considerably better shape. It was making payroll, which, you know, is a good thing. It was an actual functioning concern. It had even started hiring more people. But of course, that's not cause for raising a banner and calling it mission accomplished. That's just phase one of saving a company. And Matt couldn't crack the code on phase two, which is, you know, growing a company.
The company wasn't really growing the way that I wanted it to. And as, you know, being kind of a backwater hardware point of sale dealership, there really wasn't a lot of upside to expand that business. And so we had branched into a couple other business lines and business units, everything from kind of, we were basically just experimenting with different businesses. So we kind of tried some stuff in IT services. We developed some of our own kind of software solutions for the restaurant space, because obviously software is sort of a hot place to be, but I didn't really have a lot of experience or knowledge about how to manage or grow a software company. And, you know, I had started a number of other kind of random initiatives, just trying to figure out what can we do to grow the company. But we were sort of stagnating. We were struggling. The business wasn't kind of growing to the next level the way that I wanted it to grow. It had reached a great kind of stable balance point, and maybe was growing a little bit. But as the, you know, now maybe 27 or 28-year-old CEO of this company, I wanted it to be a fast-growing, kind of high-flying business. And the reality was it wasn't getting there. It was sort of stuck in place.
What a difference a few years makes, right? When Matt was 25, he was thinking of himself as having this super sexy job, the young CEO. And now he's 27 or 28, and he's like, uh-oh, do I really have what it takes? And he's also noticing another deficiency. He can't get the business to grow, and he also can't get the company culture to improve. Like, he took over a demoralized company, and although he stopped it from failing, like outright failing, the people there were still not fired up about their jobs. The place just seemed to be lacking a mission and a sense of purpose. And though he was the leader and he knew where he wanted to lead them, he somehow couldn't get people to share his vision. And this is a very frustrating place to be. In some ways, it's more frustrating than what often happens to first-time leaders, which is that they don't see a problem coming and then they get caught off guard when it suddenly explodes. I mean, Matt's problem was the opposite. He saw the problems, just like he saw the problems when he first walked into the company. But back then, he knew the solutions. Now, he just didn't. And that became a hell of a mind game.
I started to kind of get frustrated even with being CEO. And I started realizing that this job that I had built up in my head as something, you know, that I would aspire to since I was decided I wanted to go into business. And it was so cool to be this kind of young, exciting CEO. I started to realize that, you know, that's not all it's cracked up to be. And maybe it's not even the right skill set for me. And maybe I'm not even that good at it.
Can we just pause here to consider how challenging this is on a personal level? This isn't just a business failure. This is a complete identity crisis. I mean, Matt is like a lot of entrepreneurs in that he's had a very particular vision of himself. Being CEO wasn't just a goal. It was like a purpose. It was a sense of self. And now, well, what is he if he's not good at being a CEO? Who is he? Who's he supposed to be? What is he supposed to aspire to, if not this? And now here, I think, is the crossroads. The moment when someone either commits themselves to their original vision or they redefine themselves. Typically on this show, like I said before, we talk about people in the former category. After all, they're the ones who stuck with it and are still running the company and therefore are around to talk to me about it. It's a self-selecting group. But Matt, well, he eventually started to come to a different conclusion.
I don't know if it was so much of a kind of a breakthrough moment as a slow realization that, hey, maybe I'm not the right person for this, and maybe my kind of skills and talents could be deployed more effectively. And it kind of came together. I was having coffee with a friend of mine. He was the CEO of another technology company, actually, and he was kind of telling me, I'm sort of frustrated, and we're, you know, our funding's not going well, and this and that. He was kind of complaining about all these problems, and I was like, well, are you thinking about making a change? And he was like, yeah. And so I kind of spent 15 minutes brainstorming with him. I was like, oh, well, you know, let me see who I can introduce you to and see if I have these friends and all this stuff. And then I just almost on a whim just kind of threw out. I was like, what if you just took my job? And we kind of laughed about it and we were joking about it. And then he was like, that's not a bad idea.
What if you just took my job? It is not a sentence that comes out of many people's mouths, but imagine the relief of it. Imagine coming to the conclusion that you're not right for a job and fighting that conclusion for a while and then finally embracing it. Imagine not thinking about that as a failure, but thinking about that as a fact, thinking about that as like the words of a person who's discovered something important about themselves and embracing it. What if you just took my job? Whoa.
And we said, well, let's set a time to get together again. And we got together the following week and said, all right, this is kind of a crazy idea, but let's just sketch it out. And so I brought everything about the business, the P&Ls and the business plans and the strategies we've been pursuing and everything. And I just walked him through. I was like, here's everything I know about what's going on in this company, what I see as the, you know, like SWOT analysis, the opportunities, the threats, all this stuff. And we just started kind of diving into it. And we had two or three meetings like that where we just kicked around all these different ideas of, okay, you know, what would it look like if you came on board? What would it look like for me? What would it look like for him? What would it look like for the company? And how would we structure that? And what would happen to his other business and all of these things? And eventually kind of came to a place where we're like, this idea is a pretty good idea. And you know, we should seriously look at doing this. And so we kind of put a plan together and eventually brought him on board as CEO and replaced me as CEO. And I moved to a kind of a chairman of the board role, which I think is much more suited to my strengths and abilities.
Consider those last words he said, strengths and abilities. That's the key here. That's what enabled this change. Matt hadn't decided he was bad at being a CEO. Matt had realized that this experience taught him something, and it was this. Matt's good at walking into a distressed company and fixing the damage. What he's not good at is growing a company once it's been fixed. That's not failure. That's strengths and abilities. That's knowing what you're great at and embracing it. The way Matt thinks about it now, nobody should expect to be great at every position. That is not the point. It's not like people look at Shaquille O'Neal and say, yeah, he was a great center, lots of slam dunks and whatever, but he should have also been able to play point guard. You know, it's like, that's not how the game works. That's not what was being asked of Shaq. He had a position and he was great at it, and that's greatness. There is so much power in knowing what you're great at and not losing time trying to be great at what you're not.
That was kind of a transformational moment that shifted fundamentally the way I think about pursuing opportunities and kind of created this sort of rule of thumb that I use for myself now, which is always replace myself. And in a weird way, it's actually made me way more effective and way more efficient than I used to be, because now whenever I've kind of translated that beyond just sort of investing in companies and in any project that I'm involved in, my constant focus is, how can I replace myself with somebody who's smarter, better, who can do a better job than me?
Today, as a result, Matt says a lot of things have improved. So there's Fresh Technologies, the company that he's no longer CEO of. That place is thriving. He says it's grown 40% in profitability in the past year, and that's while building out a huge new team for a new software initiative. And Matt is thriving too. He's been able to walk into other companies and apply his strengths, and it's been great for everyone. And earlier this year, in fact, he became interim CEO of another company. But now he has absolutely no interest in sticking around very long. His goal is to fix that place and then replace himself. Matt knows what he is great at, and so he's just interested in going out and being great.
And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonpfeiffer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Pfeiffer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonpfeiffer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.